Good morning, everybody. Can everybody see me? You're right. Okay. Oh, what a massive privilege it is to be here this morning, and amazing to be in His presence, to know that He's with us, even if we sometimes struggle to believe that He is here. And sometimes we doubt, but we have to have the faith that He's with us. Amen? It's amazing to see what God's busy doing in the region. So it's such a massive privilege for me to be here this morning, and I can't believe that I'm standing and preaching in Montague, where I grew up. I didn't even know about a town like Montague. Well, you wouldn't even know about rates, so, well, some of you actually met. It's Ati there at the back again. It's Ati, ne? Yeah. We played golf, I was very small. Played golf, him and my dad played golf together in rates, Eastern Free State. So, massive privilege to be here, me and my wifey, my beautiful wife. It's always lucky to have her with me. Obviously, my better half, the more intelligent one, and obviously the better looking one. So can I pray for us before we start? Yeah, Father, I'm so aware that it's You that changes us, Father. It's You that sanctifies us. It's You that pulls us closer to You. It's not great worship, it's not great preaching, Father, it's not great teaching, even though You inhabit those things, Lord, but it's You that does it. It's You that leads us, Father. So I come and pray now, Father, that You will come and deposit faith into our hearts this morning, Father, that doubt and unbelief will go out the door just even more, Father. I pray that in Jesus' name. Through Your Spirit, Lord. Through Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I've got the privilege. Sorry, I just want to move a bit forward. Just as I prayed for Montague and just, what I felt in my heart for you. So hopefully I'll get through it and it won't be too long. But if you want to put a topic on it, it's just the word go. G-O, go. Okay, so that should make you feel uncomfortable already, because we don't like to go. So I'm really trusting for a deposit of faith into our hearts this morning. So I'm going to start. There's not a lot of scriptures, but there's a few. So I'm going to start with a very, it's actually not a well-known verse. And I'm joking. It's a very well-known verse. It's Matthew 28, verse 18. The Great Commission. And Jesus came out and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, so we've heard that before. So I felt in my heart just to preach out of that this morning, but there's actually a not so well known verse, and that's the verse before that. And I want to read that to us, verse 16 and 17, the two verses before that, and it sort of gives us a bit of context. When you hear the Great Commission, we know, okay, that's the Great Commission, that's what Jesus said. But when we don't really think of context, always when we think of that scripture. So verse 16 and 17, and there's three words that I actually want to talk to you about. Firstly, when we talk about going and we're talking about why Jesus wants us to go. And verse 16 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him." Okay, so we all know that this is just before Jesus went up. Okay, so after 3 years with him, realizing everything, seeing everything, knowing lots that happened, only 40 days ago they saw this man die, him raised from the dead. And when he died, what happened? Like earthquakes, everything. And then we see this guy rise, realizing this is the Son of God, realizing this is the Messiah. And so that's why they went to the mountain. Obviously, when he says, go to the mountain, we go to the mountain. So they went to the mountain, they stood on the mountain, they saw Jesus, and they started worshiping him. But then these three words, but some doubted. Now try and put that into context. After everything they've saw, they still doubted. And out of that, Jesus responds with the Great Commission. It's very important to understand that and just, you know, to put into context what Jesus felt in his heart maybe and why he said those words. Because we don't normally think about it. We just think, Great Commission, okay, we need to go. But we need to realize, why did he say that? Why did he say to the guys, go? So just to, and it's not just in Matthew. I want to, the account that Mark gives about this is also very interesting. Mark 16, verse 14. So it's not just Matthew that saw or felt that there was doubt. Mark as well. And Mark 16, verse 14 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. So obviously Mark remembered he was hungry and he was eating. He doesn't really remember the worship. Okay. And then he says the 11 as they were eating. And then he says, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go in into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's actually quite an interesting word that he uses for this Great Commission. The word is, he rebuked them. So according to Mark, the Great Commission is not just a command to go, it's actually a rebuke. It's interesting. I've never looked at it that way. Why? So both Matthew and Mark remember the doubts. And then a response from Jesus is what we've read. See, in that moment, I believe with the context of Jesus' heart, and I've seen this in, and this is the nail I want to hit today. If we don't respond and be like God, now Jesus says, he knows, he sees, he picks up this doubt. He sees the worship, but he picks up the doubt in his heart. And then he responds with, if they don't go and give like we do, they don't not just reflect, but they can't bear the image of the Trinity, of humbleness in going. And if we don't bear that image of humbleness in going, God can't inhabit that. That's when unbelief creeps in. Does that make sense now? So if we don't go, we're not reflecting God. And Jesus knows that. So for him, when he saw the doubt, when he saw this, he said, I have to get them to go now. And that's why he says also, it's better for me to go so that I can send the Holy Spirit to show you the way how to go. And that's context. It's not just context of where it is written and where they were. It's context of trying to pick up what Jesus felt when he said, go into all the nations. Because he picked up doubt. Because he knows after everything they saw, after everything they went through, he knows they still doubt. And the Bible actually talks about us and he says, blessed are those who will believe and do not see. See, even for us that do not see the way they saw, yes, we've got the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you if you don't allow him to lead. And the way you allow him to lead is to go, emptying yourself, humbling yourself. Does that make sense? Also, Matthew 4, verse 19 says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus will always, when he asks you to follow him, it will always go to people. It will always be away from yourself. Yes, there's intimacy, but he says, you can't love me and not love your brother. It will always be a leading away from yourself. And I wonder sometimes why we doubt so much. Why we struggle so much. Why do we experience so little of God? Why am I struggling with my intimacy with God? And honestly, if I look at this, I don't think we're going enough. We're not putting ourselves out there like Jesus did, like the Father does, giving of themselves, going and going and going. That's emptying yourself as you go, and you're creating a platform for Jesus to live in you as you go. So that's why he responds with go, to fight the unbelief. And I want to say with this Great Commission, if you don't, this is going to pull through the whole sermon, but if you don't disciple, if you don't go, doubt will creep into your life. Will creep into your life. You will. I've seen it through the years. I've seen it with all the people I've led. I've seen the people, if they don't disciple, if they don't soon disciple someone after being born again, doubt will creep in. Honestly. And then people drift away. I've seen it. Because the thing is, when you go, and the Bible says, the wise man builds on the rock, which is Jesus. And he says, if we don't do that, what happens? Winds and the storms and the waves come. And we see the winds and the storms and the waves in the world. And I see the people that go, the people that intentionally go front-footed in the church. You've always got that core group in church, eh? Yes, even some of the core group goes. And their sin and all that sort of things that sort of thing happens with. But it's just a safer place to experience Jesus in intimacy when you go. To make sure you're building on the rock. Okay, so verse 19 again, just to unpack that a little bit. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So I think the reason why we struggle and don't remember the scripture, because we think the nations has been reached. Okay? So if you want to believe this or not, it's still so embedded in us to think that I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a missionary, I'm not the pastor, I'm not the elders, I'm not. It's for somebody else. It's so embedded in us. So when we see trouble, and it's like really trouble, first guys we call elders or the comm leaders or the... Isn't it? It's so quickly for us to think, okay... Now, I want to unpack that word nations, and I think, or not the word nations, but just what does nations mean? Because the inherent thing for us to fight doubt is still there. The heart of the Great Commission is still alive in us. It's not just because the nations has been reached. And I still think there's nations that needs to be reached and the way we do it, but I quickly want to talk about that. And I want to say we are in the nations. The reason we're sitting here today was because some of the people fired their doubt. And the fact we're sitting in Montague 2,000 years later is the fact that people went. But Montague needs to be reached. Montague is a nation by itself. The same as Wellington in this region. And this is why we're building. God wants to do it through his church, but through each person going. The heart of the calling is still there, even though it looks a bit different than then. So the first thing, yes, nations. The first nations is the nations. That's why we do 4:12. And I want to encourage you to go into the nations. I want to encourage you. And he wants to establish healthy churches in the world and the region. 3 years ago, it was only Swellendam. Out of Swellendam, we planted Stilbaai. Out of Swellendam, we planted Worcester, Bonnievale. And now, all of a sudden, 2 years later, after that all, we're 7 churches in this region. God wants to establish And this is the nations. He wants to establish a healthy church by each one going. It's about each individual. And the second thing is, I want to hit a little bit home now. Your nations is your home. Husband, your first nation that you need to go and disciple is your wife. And we don't think about it that way. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5 verse 25. Listen to this. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are you hearing that gave coming through again? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain and wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. The way Jesus is preparing his bride, in the same way you, husband, and you, wife, towards your husband as well, it goes vice versa, and towards your kids. The first nations where we start at is your home. And I've seen it so many times, and maybe you can relate with this, as a husband or as a wife. We like, what's a reactionaire? Reactionaire discipleship. So we react in disciples. So we see something and then we want a disciple. Husbands, try and think of that one. We see something, then we want a disciple. But so go doesn't mean wait for the thing to happen, then we respond. Go means be front-footed. So there's this thing that bothers me with my wife. Not now, I'm just taking it as an example. There's this thing that bothers me with my wife, and then I keep it there, and then I wait for the right moment, then I go. Then I respond and I try and disciple. And then it's all emotions and it doesn't help. Okay. And that's the way we normally do. And I think go into the nations, meaning being front-footed, is try and be front-footed and disciple and cleansing with the word. The same vice versa. Wives to your husbands and to your kids. Don't wait. Just don't react every time. We need to be front-footed in discipleship. And we'll get into that now. I want to say that teach them to obey your commands, that pull it through to the kids quickly. We did a course now, for the last 4 weeks in Swellendam. Unfortunately, I can't put it on the internet. But with us, with our kids, just I felt it for you guys as well, those with kids. Teach them to obey the commands. Obedience. And I've seen it so many, and I've seen it in our church, and I felt it for you guys as well. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Abram is a great example of that. Jesus said, go and sacrifice your son. And the scripture says, early the next morning he went. It wasn't, okay, if God says to me, Leo's my son, I need to sacrifice Leo, I'm going to be like a Lord. Can't we just pray about this? I'm going to fast for 40 days and you're going to have to send me an email to make sure that I've got it on black and white. This is... No, early the next morning, Abram went. And that's why Abram was called a friend of God. Because there's no delayed obedience. And with your kids, same thing. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If we talk 1, 2, 3, 4 times, what are you teaching them? You're teaching disobedience. So make sure that just a freebie for the morning. But it's discipleship, teaching them to obey my commands. 3, the nations is your church family as well. So we started off, it is the nations. And the previous one was our homes. We need to start in our homes and now make sure that our family, extended family, is our church family. We need to disciple each other, teaching to obey my commands. We need to teach each other as well. So in a way, we disciple. And so there's 3 ways Jesus did it. 1 to many, 1 to few, and 1 to 1. So he had the thousands, and he had the smaller groups, and he had the one-on-one times. And in the same way, we need to disciple in church, the same way Jesus did it. And to be honest, in a church... And that's something that God's put on my heart for the last 7 years of leading Swellendam, I've been, this is what I feel God called me for. It's one-on-one discipleship. Because I see a lot of church, I see a lot of one-to-many. And that is good. We're being discipled this way, we're doing it this morning. And we see a lot of one-to-fews. We see it in community, but one-on-ones. And then we ask, why is there so much doubt? Why do we struggle? Because the one-on-one discipleship is lacking. It is lacking. If we don't go, if you're not discipling somebody, you are going to doubt. You are. That's just the way God made us, to give. We can't leave it to the leaders, to the elders to do discipling, or to the comm leaders. It needs to be a priesthood of all believers, everybody doing it. And I want to say as well, and it's not just, it's going in a sense of in when we gather together, if God wants to use you in going in the church, even when we meet together, He wants to use you, He wants to use your ear and your mouth. He wants to talk to you because you see a part of Jesus that, if it's only the same five people sharing on Sundays, prophetic words or whatever God's saying, if it's a scripture or anything if it's only those five, we're not representing Jesus. Because you're representing Him in a way that those five can't. So you need to hear and you need to go. And I've seen through the years, because this was difficult for me. I grew up in church. My dad's a pastor. And I hated that sort of thing. For me to, and he kicked me into everything. But I didn't want to share in front of people. I didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel like, is this any... But I've realized through the years how I've went, God filled that space. As I believe that, hey, I've got a word for the church now. So I just feel like, activate that in your heart. But you desire that in your heart. And that, when then you experience Jesus. What more do you want when you do that? So then, nations of Montague. Yes, church family. But we're also called to go into the nations, go into the lost of Montague. And I want to say again, we tend to, when it comes to evangelism or when it comes to, I don't want to, we so just call it things. It's not evangelism. Just go and talk to people. And I want to say it's go. It's not wait for people to be crossing your path. There's a holy moment where you know. No, go. It's going intentionally into the town. I'm not talking about standing on street corners. I'm just, every morning you wake up, do you ask the Holy Spirit, where do I need to go this morning? Who do I need to talk to this morning? It's front-footed. It's not waiting for somebody to cross your path. Because we tend to, I've got it in Afrikaans now, ons het kerkbaaikies. En ons het werkbaaikies. En ons het social baaikies. Amen. We love to compartmentalize, is that the right word? Compartmentalize. Yes, that's a biggie. We put those jackets on. This is my work jacket. I don't see that in the Bible. It's we need to go into the nations. I don't see us putting on a social. It's because we see that in. It's like, I don't feel like being spiritual today. You're over spiritual guy, you. I've heard so many times people say to me, you're always spiritual. Like, yes, because I've got my spiritual jacket. I'm putting on Jesus. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For us to live is Christ in our workplace, in our social environment, everywhere we are, we need to live Christ. And that's in going. That means go. And I want to say, there's lots of people going to hell. If we forget that, we don't have any compassion. And then we struggle, why am I not experiencing Jesus? Because He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So if we're not making fishers of men, we're not following Jesus. If you're not leading people to Jesus, you're going to start doubting. And that's the truth now. Raw, honest, straight. If you're not leading people to Jesus, you're going to start doubting. Because you're living for yourself. So if we don't go into Montague and we don't do this, you're going to doubt. Because it's all about you and your relationship with Jesus. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will love people. Amen? I'm preaching to myself as well. So go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit. So baptizing them. Just if you haven't been baptized, just for you this morning, why does Jesus ask that of us? Because faith produces works. Faith is not just an inworking. Not just an, it starts with an inworking, but it flows out to works. And the first works it flows out to, the first external thing that you've come to faith means this. And that's why he asks us that. That's obedience. That's why he asks. If you've got faith, baptize yourself. And that's the first thing you do in obedience. You say, Lord, my life is yours. Because it's quite a weird thing to do. Put your head on the water. People pray something over you. It's a strange thing for God to ask that of us. Isn't it? Have you thought about it? We know, I don't want to go into the whole teaching of baptism, but it symbolizes a lot. And there's a lot about it, but it's a strange thing. Why does he ask it of us? Because it takes obedience. It takes faith. It takes a lot of faith to baptize yourself. But I want to say, if you don't do it, doubt is going to creep in. And if you have been baptized, I want to ask you this morning, when last did you baptize somebody? Or is it the pastor's job? Eh? I don't see that in the Great Commission. It says, go into the nations, baptize them. And we tend to leave it to the one too few or the one too many. And there's wisdom in this. I don't want to go and baptize people. There's wisdom. We as a church family, we walk this through. Make sure that you talk to your elders. But I want to say, lead people to Jesus. Baptize them. Disciple them. If you don't do this, you're going to doubt. See, in baptism, I remember a preach from Andrew. He talked about it's being pickled. It's not just a quick dip. It's being pickled in Jesus. It's being pickled in like a gherky, a gherkin being pickled. You're drenched in the Spirit. And being baptized is that discipleship and being obedient, teaching them to be obedient. And that's why it takes a while to walk a road with somebody. Don't get discouraged when it takes a while to disciple. It takes, for some guys, it takes years. We've had this guy in church now. Since I was there, 12 years. And he started smoking when he was grade 5. And he is 60 odd now. And we've walked the road with him for 12 years on this. And 3 weeks ago, he stopped. So for 11 or 12 years, we've been walking that road with him, trying to get him. After all these years. So sometimes it takes long. Sometimes it takes long. But it is, get him to be pickled in Jesus. From sanctification, it's from glory to glory. Teaching somebody to obey. And I want to say, and teaching them, and this is probably the, and I think a lot of you sitting here thinking by yourself, and this is the main thought I've felt through the years, is the fear of my inability. The fear of man is actually just the fear of inability. Fear of man is a fear of, I don't feel equipped to do this sort of thing. Luke 12:11, when you are brought before the synagogue's rulers and authorities. Do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what to say. Just go. Just go. And I want to say, you see in part. And this is so important. This is so important. You see in part. We all only see in part. I've said it before. But in discipling, you share that part. That's what discipling is. For me, if I think, if somebody asks me what is discipling, I think of two people in my life. The first one is my dad. And if I think, I'm not very keen on discipling courses and that sort of templates of discipling, because it makes people feel inequipped. Because I don't know how, and I haven't done that in all my life. My dad's never done that with me. The way I sum it up for me, in the way my dad discipled me, is one, just one thought, is that my dad included me in his relationship with Jesus. Point. That's discipleship. Just include somebody in your relationship with Jesus. That's it. Because now you see in part, now you show that part. And that's it. Don't have to be equipped. I don't have to, even baptizing somebody. Just say, what words do we say? What do we do beforehand? What do we do afterhand? No, just share what you've got in your heart. If you talk to somebody about baptism, and that's maybe the problem I've got with churches, is that we do the one too many when we talk about baptisms, and we do the one too few when we talk about baptisms. But we need that one-on-one, because the way I'm going to speak to Pity, it's not the same way I'm going to speak to Yanni, because Pity is an engineer. So the way he wants to figure this thing out. So the way I'm going to teach him that is going to be different to Yanni. Yanni is an artist. And he just flows, and I'm like, Yanni, no, we're going to have to explain this to you. No, somebody, we don't know. We're going to, let's just, and the way I talk to him is different to that guy. So what we do is, as a church, use baptism as a broad stroke. But that's why Jesus wants your part and the way you've walked that road, so that you can share that. And if we don't do that, we're not just a doubt on you, but we're not equipping people to share what he's got. Is it helping this morning? Yeah. So you can only give what you've got in a relationship with Jesus. You can only do that. And the second person is my wife. If I think of the way we've discipled each other through the years, and what I've, even when wanneer ons keer, it's discipling. And when we, in a bad space, we pull Jesus in. When we're in good spaces, we thank Jesus. And that's discipling each other. It's making Jesus, it's just the awareness of him. That's discipling. Pulling Jesus into every situation. And be front-footed in that. She's helped me through so much through the years with that. I won't be where I am today if it wasn't for my wife. I won't be. Because as a husband, you need to believe that as well. God says, seek me with all your heart. I seek God in my wife. I seek God in my wife. I seek God in relationships. I pull him into everything. And that's discipleship. It's not a 12-step program, what to talk through. Yes, there's the basics. And if I ask any of you now to go and talk to that guy about baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be difficult, even for me now, because I'm going to have to go in, sit with the Lord and talk about it. That's discipleship. That's meaning go. I've only, like, counseling, I've been an elder now for more than 10 years, and I've counseled a lot of people. I've never done a course on counseling. All I do is I pray before I go. Say, Lord, lead me. Lord, lead me. There's not a, I haven't got, a, and I've tried to read books on it, and I forget it. I read it, and I'm like, I don't know how to apply this. Because I'm not built that way. I'm not wired that. That's not my part. There's people that's great in it. And then when I could go to that guy. And I'm okay with it. I can't be Jesus in full. So you just be your part. And I want to land with this thought. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? What is being a Christian? You're being a little Jesus. That's the gospel. You being a living sacrifice. Like every day, you show the world what crucifixion is. That's Christian. You show them what it means to lay down your life and have hope. That's what it means to go. And I'm really trusting that the Lord this morning will give you a revelation. And for some of you, this might have felt like a rebuke. Hopefully, it felt like encouragement. But I want to be honest. I know rebuke is a strong word, but Mark uses that when it comes to the Great Commission. He says Jesus rebuked us, saying go. So if you do feel like, yes, I need to go, you're with Mark. And if you do feel like you doubt a little bit, but you feel encouraged to go, you're like Matthew. So this morning, I hope that Jesus injected a lot of faith in your heart to go. And as you go, I want to say that faith builds faith. Faith builds faith. Just start with a little bit. And as you go, God's going to deposit more faith. And next time, when we see each other, half of you are in Brazil, the other half is in Montague. Amen. Amen.